Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We are talking some Packers football. Thank you for your patience. Those of you who are watching the live broadcast, we had a little bit of a snafu at the beginning. Went off air for a second, but we're back. And I'm hoping the audio quality is a lot better, too. But anyhow, let's get right to it. Talking some Packers football this morning. You know, I did have to make quick mention here. All of a sudden, after I wake up and I see some of the top stories this morning at Pro Football Talk and the National Football Post about the Packers running their own bounty program. And this is actually old news. Don't all of a sudden, just because you see the words bounty and Packers, get too excited about this morning. This is something that happened actually back in 2007 and was reported back in 2007 that the Packers were running some sort of a pool. They pooled their money together in order to do things like hold Vikings running back Adrian Peterson under 100 yards. If they did that, players would get paid. Things along those lines. Calling that a bounty is like stretching the definition of the word, I think. I'm sure it technically, comes under the NFL's bounty rules or their rules against bounties in the NFL. Kurt Kozad writes on the live blog, that's not a bounty, that's an incentive. Exactly. I mean, this seems tame by other standards, you know, by what's happening in New Orleans. So anyhow, this happened in 2007, was reported in 2007. All of a sudden, yesterday, a newspaper in New Orleans reported this or brought it up. And I could see how, a newspaper in New Orleans would want to share that with their readers, something they're probably unaware of, something, you know, similar in the same vein, at least, that happened before in the NFL. But now all of a sudden that was picked up by Pro Football Talk and the National Football Post and other places too, perhaps. I don't know. But it's just really, I don't know if they're just, you know, it's a almost a lame attempt at, trying to get some attention. And I don't know if it's, they're trying to draw any comparisons that the Packers were doing anything wrong. It didn't seem so. But I mean, it just, the headline kind of grabs people's attentions. And, if you see that, just don't be too alarmed. I mean, this was pointed out by the local media kind of in the immediate aftermath of when it was found out the Saints had run some sort of bounty program, some sort of bounty system. We're talking weeks ago. I think Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had written about this in a blog post or an article. So, I mean, this is something that's been brought up before and something that should really go nowhere. The Packers dealt with it, back in 2007. I think they agreed that this system they were doing was going to stop. And kudos to the Packers. Kudos to head coach Mike McCarthy for handling it that way and stopping it. I personally don't have too big of a problem with what the Packers did. I've got a big problem with trying to intentionally hurt somebody with what the Saints did. I've got nothing wrong with hard hits. But when you're intentionally trying to injure somebody, and in fact, when it goes to the extent of doing things illegally or within outside the boundaries of the rules, like hitting somebody in the head with a helmet, big problems there. Big time problems there. So anyhow, don't put too much credence into what the Pro Football Talk is reporting, or don't get alarmed by it, I should say. Don't get alarmed by it. It's nothing. But the one topic here I really wanted to address in a little bit of depth today was an article yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Tyler Dunn. He had spoken to safety Nick Collins, and Collins confirmed that his appointment with his spinal surgeon is going to be in a week or two. And, this is, of course, of utmost importance to Packer fans because of the delicate nature and the fact that Nick Collins may not be playing football any longer. May or may not. We don't really know. Of course, to go back and give the whole situation, Nick Collins had suffered a neck injury back in week two of the 2011 NFL season against the Carolina Panthers, trying to make a tackle, injures his neck, kind of, gets hit awkwardly on the play. And, as anybody who followed the Packers closely knows, Nick Collins spent the rest of the season on injured reserve, didn't play another down, and now his career's in jeopardy. And, media had interviewed Collins periodically throughout the rest of the season, and it had kind of seemed like Collins had come to terms with perhaps his career ending. It's been a good run. He was saying things like that when he would do interviews with the media. And, it kind of seemed like he was at peace with what could be the end of his career. And then the offseason comes, and he did an interview with Bill Michaels, a syndicated Wisconsin sports talk show. And Collins had said he anticipated being cleared, I believe. I can't quote him verbatim on what he said, but, something along those lines, that he expected to come back. So really giving a positive message. And that, that kind of leads into where we are now. And Collins had said he would be making a decision in March. And of course, it's now what, March 23rd? So Packer fans have kind of been waiting for a while, actually. I mean, this happened back in like the January, February time frame after the Packers season ended. Collins said he would meet with a doctor, a specialist, his surgeon, talk about, the ramifications of what could happen if he were to continue to play pro football, whether he is able to or not, whether it could impair his quality of life, if he were to get injured again, or whether he's, liable to be injured again, or whether that could be a more likely scenario now. So, he's weighing all these factors, and he said he'd make a decision in March. And so Packer fans have been waiting. Well, it's been March now for 23 days, and he still hasn't made a decision. So in the interview yesterday at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Collins said, 1 or 2 weeks. So definitely a decision coming before the NFL draft. Packer fans are just going to have to kind of wade in the lurch here. But he says he's not nervous. Says maybe he will be on the day he visits with the doctor. But right now, he's not too nervous. There's nothing really he can do right now. He's just working out and doing things that almost any football player is doing right now. I'm sure he's staying away from anything that would have to do with his neck, but in the off season time period, there's no hitting going on anyway, so it's not like he's really in danger of injuring himself at this time of year. So Nick Collins is working out and will be visiting with his surgeon in a week or two and making a decision from there. And I suppose that kind of leads into a discussion about the safety position in general in Green Bay that we can discuss here a little bit on Railbird Central. And by all means, if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 347-352-0154. If you want to discuss with me the future of Nick Collins, the future of the safety position in Green Bay, or anything else for that matter. The platform is yours as well as mine. So, but while we wait for any phone calls, or, you know, by the way, feel free to leave your comments on the live blog. And if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, those are your only options this morning for getting your comments to show up. You're going to have to tweet, perhaps, unless Jamie's around. I know Jamie had to leave a little bit earlier today, or our live blog director. Or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. So, getting back to Nick Collins here in the safety position, the Packers, of course, would be in good shape if Nick Collins is cleared to play and he decides to come back. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. Of course, he wasn't this past season because he didn't really play, but he's a three-time Pro Bowler, and I mean, you saw how the Packers' defense performed without him. I mean, they were missing other players on the roster as well. They didn't have Cullen Jenkins, so they didn't have a pass-rushing defensive lineman. They didn't really have an effective outside linebacker opposite Clay Matthews. But, I mean, Nick Collins played into their performance as well. And the secondary, you know, played, in general, pretty poor. Of course, the Packers giving up the most passing yards in the history of the NFL this past season. That doesn't exactly... isn't exactly a ringing endorsement of their abilities. And you know, it was kind of, you know, several times there were kind of arguments about what was going on in the secondary, particularly between, you know, Morgan Burnett, the guy who basically took over at the free safety position for Nick Collins, and Tremont Williams, who thought he would have help over the top several times and did not. So kind of an issue there, and you know, I don't think the issue is going to be with Morgan Burnett. You know, he's young. It was basically his first year starting in the NFL, and I think everybody feels like he has a lot of potential. You know, he just needs some experience, and the light's going to go on at some point for a guy like Morgan Burnett. But you know, the issue is really with Charlie Peppra, who is a good stopgap player. He knows his responsibilities. He just isn't quite the athlete that other starting safeties are in the NFL. You know, he's a step slower and just doesn't have that, you know, elite ability that a Nick Collins has, or, you know, guys like Troy Polamalu or Ed Reed for that matter. And Charlie Peppra is a great guy, and there's a spot for him on the team, on the 53-man roster. He can be a guy who steps in for a game and helps you out, I think. He might be able to be a guy who can help you on special teams, but asking him to be a full-time starter is, I think, asking a little bit too much. He was a very big part of the Packers' Super Bowl run in 2010. And, you know, his best season in the NFL by far, the best season of his career, and he'll always be remembered for that. But, you know, Charlie Peppra's getting a little bit older now as well, and his skills are regressing, perhaps his speed. And so the Packers may need help. I think whether Nick Collins comes back or not, they're going to draft a safety at some point in the NFL draft. But that's, you know, that's not saying much. The Packers have, presumably here, 12 draft choices to work with this year. There's not going to be many positions they don't address in the NFL draft, at least assuming if they don't trade up and trade away some of those draft choices, so which could certainly be the case as well. Kurt Kozad asks on the live blog, Peppra and Nickel and Bush to safety? It's a possibility. I don't think Bush is going to become a starting safety at any point. Perhaps if forced into that role, that could be the case. But, you know, I can't see Charlie Peppra even playing in the nickel package as long as there are better options. As long as there are better options. And, you know, if Nick Collins comes back, that's one option. But, you know, drafting a safety is option number two. And to tell you the truth, I think one of the top players who will be available at number 28 when the Packers draft is going to be Alabama safety Mark Barron, considered by many, almost unanimously, to be the top-rated safety in this year's draft class. And, you know, I think there are better players than Mark Barron out there. I would, you know, of course, love to see the Packers draft a defensive lineman or an outside linebacker that are I think are almost more pressing positions for them, because they really need a pass rush, and that can come from either of those positions. But you know, I'm not sure that the best players at those positions are even going to be available at number 28. I think they're going to be gone by then. You know, outside linebackers like Courtney Upshaw of Alabama, Melvin Ingram of South Carolina, Whitney Marsilius of Illinois, outside linebacker, defensive lineman like Devon Still of Penn State, Michael Brockers of LSU. You know, the list goes on. I don't think those guys are going to be available at 28. But one guy I do think will be there will be Mark Barron of Alabama. So, I mean, there's a chance the Packers could get the top-rated safety in this year's NFL draft class. And you know what? I really think that he could be a fit for what they do, because if Nick Collins doesn't come back, you've got Morgan Burnett at free safety, I think. And you've got a guy like Mark Barron, who I think can fill the strong safety position, because I think that's where he fits in the NFL. He's a real hard hitter. He seems to, at least on tape, to have the speed necessary to be playing the NFL. Not that he's a speed burner by any chance, by any means. But I think he has what it takes. So just an intriguing possibility that the Packers could go safety in the first round of the NFL draft. And it's generally a weak safety draft class. It seems it's been that way for a couple years. Last year was terrible. Terrible. There were terrible safeties coming out in the draft last year. And this year is slightly better, but still not very good. Only slightly better. Mark Barron, probably a late first-round talent, if that, you know, maybe beginning of the second. And it drops off after that. It drops off after that, even. And there's a couple guys I like as second-day guys. You know, we're talking about Antonio Allen of South Carolina, Brandon Taylor of LSU, Sean Richardson of Vanderbilt. But, you know, it's a situation where the Packers could use help regardless of whether Nick Collins comes back or not. They're going to need depth at that position. I mean, just look at the position last year after Nick Collins went down. They had Morgan Burnett and Nick Collins in the starting lineup. Nick Collins gets hurt. Charlie Pepper comes in. After that, the top backup safety was M.D. Jennings, an undrafted free agent. You know, and they obviously didn't trust him at all. I mean, to put him out there on defense. They kept him because of his potential and because he was a contributor on special teams and wasn't even that heavy of a contributor. I think he played on the punt return unit, and that was about it. He didn't play on a lot of units at all. But, they think he has potential and somebody they want to develop, but obviously they weren't, you know, confident in putting him out on the field as a rookie. So I mean, safety is a thin position for the Packers right now, and regardless of whether, you know, Collins comes back or not, they need help there. And, you know, we just talked a second about Bush playing at safety, and, you know, Jared Bush has kind of been an emergency fill-in at safety for the Packers for the past couple years now. You know, he can kind of play both corner and safety. He's been more of a cornerback, but can play safety in a pinch. And, of course, there's always the discussion as well about whether Charles Woodson will make the move to safety or not. And, you know, it's been said, I believe, by head coach Mike McCarthy that, you know, Charles Woodson's not going to make the move to safety at least this year. At least this year, you know, in 2012. And I believe he needs to stay guarding the slot. I think that's where he is best suited, where his skills are best fit in the Packers' defensive scheme. And even though he, too, is getting a step slower, he needs to stay defending the slot. And so, I mean, is a move to safety coming next year? In 2013, maybe, but we need to get through 2012 first. So, you know, that's kind of where the Packers are sitting right now in the secondary, in the defensive backfield, with what they've got with, you know, Nick Collins and his situation and where they're shaping up. So, I mean, I suppose we can go back to the draft here for a second and just assume that the Packers don't draft Mark Barron. Considered to be the only, you know, first round worthy safety, but I mean, let's assume they don't draft him. They get, you know, one of those guys I said earlier that maybe falls to them, or they draft Peter Kahns, the center from Wisconsin, in the first round. They draft a defensive lineman, an outside linebacker, and anyhow, so then Mark Barron isn't available in the second round. Well, now all the safeties available, it's questionable whether there's starting material there, you know, or at least starting material their first year in the NFL. Not to say that anybody couldn't develop into a good starting safety, but I mean, again, these names I mentioned before, Antonio Allen of South Carolina, he's a guy who I really like his athletic ability, but he practically was a linebacker at South Carolina and really kind of rough around the edges. He played on the line of scrimmage. He doesn't have a lot of experience in your traditional safety role that lines up 10 yards off, you know, 10 yards in the backfield. So there's going to be a definite transition for a guy like him, but I really do love his athletic ability, but it's going to take him some time. There's Brandon Taylor of LSU. I just think there's a big drop off. I mean, maybe Taylor will be good. He just, you know, he was about the fourth best defensive back at LSU, you know. so say that he's the third best overall safety prospect according to my list in Pro Football Draft Preview, where I break down all the safeties. But he was maybe the fourth best member of his own secondary in college. Of course, LSU having a very deep secondary, and there's really nothing too wrong with, you know, saying that when we're talking about guys like cornerbacks Morris Claiborne, we're talking about the Honey Badger, you know, a guy who was, you know, in the running for the Heisman Trophy at the other corner at LSU, and then Eric Reed, a sophomore safety, who is going to be one of the top safety draft choices in a year or two, maybe next year if he decides to come out early. But anyhow, so those are other options that the Packers have. Sean Richardson of Vanderbilt, who I'm really high on, actually. I'm higher than... You go look in Pro Football Draft Preview, our draft guide here at Cheesehead TV. Go look at the safety rankings and see where I have Vanderbilt Sean Richardson rated. I am higher on him than most other NFL draft nicks. I mean, the guys you look at who rank prospects, the Todd McShays, the Mel Kuypers, the National Football Post Wes Bunting, who's the guy at NFL Network, Mike Mayock. I've got Sean Richardson rated higher than all these guys. I'm really high on him and think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And that's, you know, almost a guy I have my fingers crossed for the Packers to draft, being the Packer fan that I am, thinking he's a diamond in the rough. But still, not first-round material by any means. So, you know, there's a guy whose name gets mentioned a lot, who I really don't know what to make of him, is Harrison Smith of Notre Dame. You know, he's been mentioned by some as being the top or maybe the second best safety in this year's draft class. And it's interesting. He's a good athlete. He's a pretty good athlete as far as his measurables go at like the combine, things like that, 40-yard dash. He's got the athletic ability. And he actually put together a really good season his junior year when he had like 7 interceptions, things like that. But his senior season, I watched several games of Harrison Smith. I don't think he had a single interception his senior year. So the big playability, it was there his junior year, but not his senior, which was kind of weird. I mean, safety interceptions can kind of come in bunches at times and is a deceiving statistic. But I just watched him and he made no, you know, to me, no plays at all. He made tackles. They all came downfield. There weren't any of these jaw-dropping plays where, like, he met a running back in the hole and things you like to see like that. So I really don't know what to make of Harrison Smith because the athletic ability's there. I mean, when you see him do his 40-yard dash, it's among the best at his position. So I'm kind of confused about him. I think he's maybe a day two prospect, round 2-3 guy, probably more like a third round guy, maybe. But we'll see what an NFL coaching staff can do with him. You know, maybe they'll be able to bring out the best in a player like him. So that's what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers right now. I mean, spending most of our time talking about the safety situation. But as far as anything else, a little bit of a quiet time here. The huge news just a couple days ago, of course, the day where both Tim Tebow and the NFL came down on the bounty discipline on the New Orleans Saints, made it one of the most weird and highly publicized days in the history of the NFL offseason. a little bit slower yesterday after all that big news that went on. The Packers are doing their pro day circuit. Their scouts are out, and they were at like 5 pro days yesterday. Let's see if I remember all these correctly that I had tracked down. They were at Stanford's pro day. Of course, that got a lot of attention yesterday because of Andrew Luck, and who's very likely to be the number one overall draft choice. His pro day was televised on both the NFL Network and ESPNU. Beyond that, Stanford has several very good draft prospects, maybe as many as 4 guys going in the first round. It's almost a given that, you know, of course, Andrew Luck's going to be drafted number one overall. Guard David DeCastro is going to be drafted in the first round. Tackle Jonathan Martin's going to be drafted in the first round. Maybe tight end Kobe Fleener will be drafted in the first. He's kind of he may not go that high, but it's possible. He may be the top overall tight end in this year's draft class, and that's not saying much. Very weak tight end draft class this year. Very weak. But he might be the best of it, though. Mid-round guys, we're talking wide receiver Chris Owosu. They had a safety there, too. One of my lower-rated safeties. I even forget his name off the top of the tip of my tongue here. But, a lot of good prospects at Stanford this year. They were at, let's see, LSU's Pro Day. Boise State held their Pro Day yesterday. That's an interesting one, of course, with all the several good prospects coming out of Boise State this year. Outside linebacker Shea McClellan, defensive lineman Billy Wynn and Tyrone Crawford, quarterback Kellen Moore. There's that. Where else were they? They were at Middle Tennessee State. They were at Yale. Quarterback Patrick Witt was invited to the NFL Combine from Yale. They were at East Carolina yesterday. So that kind of wraps up all the ones I remembered from the pro days. that the Packers attended yesterday. Comment from Rickshaw on the live blog. I really wonder how much Teddy sticks to his best available philosophy in this year's draft. You know, that question was asked to Ted Thompson at the NFL Combine, and he says he's going to stick by it. He says, you know, it's the NFL draft has to be looked at as an investment, and you know, long-term investments when you're signing these guys to 4 or 5 year contracts. You know, he says he's going to be sticking to his best available philosophy. Now, I personally feel that in round one, and this might only apply to round one, that I don't think the Packers would draft either a quarterback or a wide receiver, positions that are totally under control, have a ton of depth, and maybe you could even throw a tight end in there as well, even though the, you know, there's probably not any tight ends worthy of being drafted at number 28, perhaps. But, you know, I think the Packers would avoid those positions if they truly and really felt that a quarterback or a wide receiver was the best available player at number 28 overall. They would trade down, let somebody else have that pick and gain another one somewhere. But, I mean, they have so many needs on the defensive side of the football and on the offensive line that I think that, you know, that they'll hit on a need somewhere and still find a pretty good player, one they have pretty highly rated at number 28. So that's my philosophy on the best player available, system that the Packers and Ted Thompson seem to espouse every year. Now, after you get past round one, the Packers really could address almost any position. I wouldn't exactly love to see him draft a quarterback in round two, but it wouldn't surprise me totally either. You know, if they went after a guy like, who knows, maybe even Kirk Cousins in round two, if they really feel like he's a good player. I'm not sure that they do. And I'm not sure that they don't have any players rated ahead of him that would still be available, and that's certainly a very good chance. But anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning here on Cheesehead TV. Have a good weekend. Have a good Friday. We'll be back here on Monday morning for another episode, so make sure to join us then. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. Have a great weekend, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you with a song today called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.